Hi, welcome to New Hope Community Church Online. The sermon you are about to hear was originally given by Pastor Chuck Wilson. New Hope Community Church, to know, to live, and to share Jesus Christ.
But if you want to turn in James chapter 5 today, and if you need a Bible, raise your hand nice and high. My Bible boys are, I have some Bible boys ready back there. Keep your hands up nice and high till they get to you. And keep them up there, but if you're using this Bible, it's page 856. We're going to finish the book of James, a historic Sunday for those who are here. And also, there's tapes and CDs of the service. Help yourself. Everything's free. In the back, there's tapes and CDs on the table. You can help yourself to those. Also, if you need a Bible, be our guest. Take it home and keep it for yourself. Also, we are on the podcast, so if you ever want to, you ever miss a sermon, or you want to hear it again, or you don't have the CD, or you just want to see one of the videos that we show or stories, it's all on podcast. Just go on our website, and there's a little place you click on, click here, and you'll be able to listen to all the different ones. Takes about a week or two to get them on, but that's all on there, okay? So today the sermon is how to save a life. Speaking of saving lives, we have several cats, and Buster, for those who know, we have an outdoor cat, Buddy, who's, you know, the outdoor cat, looks like a panther, and kills like a panther, and then we have an indoor cat, Buster, who's not a panther, he's a big baby, you know, he's a big baby, but he's a great, great family cat, and he's just like one of the family, and he's real affectionate, especially when you're trying to sleep at night. He just wants to be petted. And so he has heart problems. He's like 10 years old. He wasn't supposed to live this long. The vet keeps saying, this is the last time I'll probably see him, one of those things. You know, he's got these heart problems, and he's a big wimp. He's never been outside more than 5 minutes. He goes under the bush and runs back in, you know, once in a while when he's really adventuresome. Well, several months ago, I can't even remember how long it's been, 6 months ago, we couldn't find him. Like, where is Buster? We're looking everywhere. It's not like him. He didn't come for when I fed him. He never misses a meal, you know? And he didn't come out, and we can't find him. We're looking everywhere. He must be shut somewhere. We opened all the doors, went through everywhere, and then I hope he didn't die in the house. So I'm going around sniffing throughout the house, you know? It happens. And so I'm looking around, and I did find some dirty diapers, but I didn't find the cat. And so that's another story. But hey, so we're looking everywhere, we can't find this cat, and we're like, then we finally realized, I'm like, after a couple of days, we're like, you know what, he must have gone outside. So this happened one other time when he was real young, so I went outside and I started calling him, kitty, 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 you know, and I'm waiting for him to show up, and I'm just expecting to hear him meowing. One time he was on the neighbor's deck and overnight, and it was traumatic. I never thought he'd do it again, but I'm calling, and there's no answer, and next day I did it again, and we're like, the realization is hitting us that this cat is probably gone, because he couldn't survive. No claws. He's a big wimp. Heart condition. You know, there's no way he could survive out there. We have fox, and there's some coyotes in the area. But the fox chase the neighborhood cats if they're out at night. And so we're like, he must have got eaten. You know, we're really, you know, worried. But the kids are all upset. And Kim calls the SPCA just in case. You know, well, you never know. I'll call the SPCA. And the girls, Becca and some of the girls, they said, let's put posters up. Let's put posters up. So they drew pictures of him. And put these posters all over our neighborhood on the light posts. And I'm walking, I see, what is that? Oh, that's a cat. Okay. So you know, they're Buster the cat, right? If you've seen Buster, call me, you know. And so we didn't get any calls. This one, finally, we grieved him and moved on and, you know, all that. But then one day, Kim gets a call from the SPCA. Says, I think we might have your cat. Right, it's impossible. Well, there's a couple neighborhoods over. Someone went outside, and this cat was outside the door baring its teeth. So they called us because they thought it was rabid. And we said, well, it might just be hungry, you know. So they came, and sure enough, it was just hungry. And he was doing this because he was hungry. And I don't know if he's going to eat the person or what, but he was looking for food. And so Kim was like, this is impossible. So a month, Buster, with his heart condition, you know, domesticated cat. She goes over to the SPCA, to come to the cage, and there he was. Skin and bones. I think he weighed, Kim's not in here, 6 pounds. He's down to 6 pounds. He's skin and bones, beat up, all beat up and everything. But it was him. And we were like in shock, you know. We're going to make a movie of this, obviously. But we were in shock, and so Homeward Bound, one of those things. But anyway, bring him home, and I picked him up, and it was like he wasn't even there. He was just skin and bones. And he was really happy to be back, and we fed him. And now you never know, he was out gone for a month. But it was just crazy that he was able to survive out there and that the SBCA helped to save him and save him. And the kids were so excited. Now he's so excited. I mean, he's always on top of us, always. You know, so excited. And as excited as we were and are about having our Buster back, it's really just a cat. What we saw up on the screen, the pictures are real people that are being saved by this ministry. And it makes me think of that song, How to Save a Life by The Fray. These are real people. And we're all called to be lifesavers in many, many different ways. And that's what this last couple verses in James is all about, is saving lives, rescuing people in a lot of different ways. And let me pray before I read it. Father, we thank you for each person that could worship with us today. Now we just ask for your mercy and grace as we meditate on and study these last few words of the Apostle James and his words to us through your Holy Spirit. We pray that this would speak to each one of us, that this Thanksgiving season especially speak to us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's read the verses there in James 5, last two verses in James. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sin. A multitude of sins. So first of all, it talks about wandering from the truth. Someone's wandered from the truth. And the truth here could mean one of two things. It means both, really. It could talk about right doctrine, you know, the right biblical beliefs, or right actions, the right behavior, the right living. And when we talk about the right doctrine, a lot of people wander from the truth because they we call it apostasy. They fall away from the faith. They're deceived by some kind of false teaching. Maybe it's a cult that's gotten to them, or some kind of New Age teaching, or the world's philosophies have come in and messed them up spiritually somehow, like the world's philosophies, like all religions are the same, or evolutionary thinking, something along those lines. And they've wandered from the truth, and the biblical truth. Also, it could be talking about right living, too. And we used to call it backsliding. Someone who's following God, and then they fall away. We call it backsliding in the old days, or falling away, falling into sin, where you buy, and we've all gone through this, right? We buy the world's thinking. How can it be wrong when it feels so right? You know, or that song. That's the idea, is he says if we wander from the truth. And the word used for wander here that James uses, and I don't give you a lot of the Greek, but this one's a good one. It's planao. Planao. What does that sound like? Planeto. I'm kidding. I'm hinting. Planet. This is where we get the word planet from. It's the same word that James uses here. And planet, who knows the official definition of a planet? Where's Ron? Ron is home. Linda's here, but Ron was not here. He could have helped me with this one, with his PhD. But it's heavenly wanderer. Heavenly wanderer. That's planet, okay? And it can be this wandering. That's where we get... This is not heavenly, this is earthly wandering. The earthly wandering that James is talking about can either be inadvertent, you know, kind of happened, didn't unaware of it, or it could be willful. It could be falling into sin without really realizing it was happening because we're deceived, or it could be a decision to accept some unbiblical thinking in our life, either belief or action in our life. And this is what he's talking about here. And he says if someone should wander, you know, planet, wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back. And that should be our whole goal, right? As Christians and as a church, that should be our whole goal, is to bring people back. We're like rescue heroes. that should be our whole focus, is not someone who, maybe someone who's not a Christian, our real goal is to help them find Christ and to and to be freed from the old life and all the garbage of that life that like we used to live in. We want him to have Jesus Christ. We want him to have that full life that he's promised us. That should be our goal, is to reach people for Christ and share the love of Christ with them and live out Christ in front of them, but also bringing back people that are Christians but have fallen away, that have struggled, that have wandered from the faith. And so many of us can attest to that, right? We can share that testimony. Many people here, for years, wandered from the faith, but through God's grace, we're back with the body of Christ. And also, I think many of the people that have gone through that experience are the best ones that going out and rescuing. They have the, you guys have the, you know, we have the, you know, those who have, we've experienced that, we have the heart to reach out and to bring people back. And I think that's what's so great about this church. I just love this church. Everybody's always looking to, doesn't matter how far, you know, we saw the picture of the ministry, the inner city, but it's not, it's everywhere, right? We all fall away. And I just think this church is so super. I've experienced it in my own life, with my own family. You guys just reaching out and trying to bring prodigals back and loving them. And it's awesome. But it says, if someone should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways, the error of his ways. This is interesting. The word error there could also be translated wandering. Wandering ways. And this is what's interesting here. The word error there has the same root as that wanderer planet. The planet, oh, this is plane. It's the same root. It's the same idea. James connects them, intentionally connects the two to show that the error, the wandering belief and the wandering life, it's all connected there, okay? It's pretty interesting how he did that. He says, whoever turns him from the error, the wandering ways, will save him from death. Save him from death. Now, there's two ways it could save us from death. First of all, it could be physical death, right? If we bring someone back from wandering out there in the lifestyle, sinful separates us from God. It hurts us. That's why God says, don't sin, don't do this, don't do that. It's not to be mean, not to steal us, keep us from having fun, but because he knows it will destroy us, right? But let's say it can keep us from physical death. Many sins, you can connect the dot. You say, this sin will kill you, okay? Think of drugs. We'll use drugs because that's an easy one to connect the dots with. Many sin, using drugs kills you. Now, it could be fast or it could be slow, but it's going to kill, right? If you take drugs long enough, the addiction set in, and it just slowly erodes our life and destroys us and kills us. And that's why they're so deceptive. They look like a lot of fun, but in the end, they kill. But not only that, they can also kill us quickly, because if you get the wrong drug or an overdose, you die. And it happens pretty regular. Read the newspaper. A lot of young people even overdose by accident. And so that's a picture of what sin can do. It can cause physical death, fast or slow. It can kill us. But it also can kill us spiritually. In fact, sin might kill us physically, but it definitely kills us spiritually. It definitely causes spiritual death. All sin causes spiritual death at some point. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. It's definite. If you are here and you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are spiritually dead. Don't feel bad. We all were. If we're not spiritually dead, it's not a thing we've done. We've simply turned to Jesus Christ and asked him to forgive us for all the garbage and the sin in our life, all the rebellion in our life. We've asked him to forgive us, and we put our faith in him, his death on that cross, his resurrection from the dead. We put our faith in him, and that's the only reason we have life. He put his Holy Spirit, just as God breathed life into the Adam and Eve and gave them the breath of life. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he puts his Holy Spirit in, and we are born again. We are born from above. We become a brand new creation in Christ. We have life again through Jesus Christ. And we're no longer dead spiritually. No longer dead. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Because if we haven't put our faith in Christ, we are spiritually dead, and we're facing an eternity of judgment separated from God. And don't wait for that. Even now, we're facing an empty life. We don't just put our faith in Christ, we go to heaven someday instead of hell. That's a good incentive. But we do it because now we start living the life now. We start living eternal life now. We start living the life he's always wanted us to live right now. Do you have that life? That life. He says here, we'll save him from death and cover over a multitude of sin. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what you have done in your past. When you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sins and you put your faith in him and give your life to him, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter if you've done one thing wrong or 10 million things wrong. Covered over. It's gone. It's gone. And even after we become a Christian, we fall away. And this is kind of the context here. We fall away. When we bring someone back, and that person receives God's mercy and grace again, no matter what you've done, if you've fallen away and coming back to God, no matter what we've done, we can be forgiven for anything, anytime, restored to fellowship. Now, there may be some discipline and consequences, sure, but it doesn't matter. We still are totally connected to God again as our Father. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't matter how many times you fall on your face. Doesn't matter what you've done from Sunday to Sunday, day to day. God is waiting to wash us off, forgive us, wash us off, restore us to fellowship, and get us moving forward again. It's all grace. It's all mercy and grace. Maybe you're here today and you need to come back. Or maybe we're here today and we need to bring somebody back. Maybe we're here today and we need to welcome somebody back. We need to be a welcoming. You know how we help somebody and then they turn on us and they burn bridges and they do this and they do that. And they come back to us or to God and we're like, well, prove it. Prove yourself first. You ever feel like that? But the church is to welcome back. Welcome back. Galatians 6 is a great parallel passage. I want to just look at a couple verses in Galatians 6 because I really think it fills out this picture that James is talking about. Paul talks about in Galatians 6 verse 1. He says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. He says, first of all, restore them gently. Someone is in sin, we're trying to restore them gently. The Greek word here is used for the setting of bones, like a doctor who takes a broken bone and is setting it. If you have a broken bone, how do you want them to set it? Listen, I don't know how many casts we've had in our family. The emergency room knows us by, you know, they see us coming in. Ah, you know, they're here again. You know, we run the emergency room nurses at restaurants. Don't we know you? You know, but broken bones cast all the time, right? when they're setting those bones, some doctors are pretty good at it and some aren't as nice, right? But you want someone who's gentle. You want someone who's going to do it gently, right? And that's the whole picture that Paul is saying. When we're going to restore somebody, do it gently. And he says also watch yourself because we could be tempted. He says here, watch yourself. We could be tempted. When we're helping somebody else with their battle, guess what? We could be tempted, right? Give you an example, the sexual purity group that we have. Those guys do an amazing ministry, and all the guys going, people going to that, and it's amazing ministry. But I got to tell you, that's a tough ministry because these guys who are running the ministry have been through their own battles. And they've shared these up front. I'm not telling anybody secrets. You know, they've shared the testimonies up front. But that's tough because they're helping people with those same struggles, and they're getting hearing about other people's struggles, that is, they have always got to be on their guard. But that goes for all of us, right? As we're helping people with their struggles, and we're going into the trenches and going into the garbage dumps, you know, I'm talking about spiritually, and helping people. We have our old baggage and old struggles and old temptations. Be very, very careful that we are not pulled down. But this is what I really wanted to focus on. Carry each other's burdens. I love that. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Love, love, love. Love your neighbor as yourself. The law of Christ, right? We talked about that. James chapter 1, 2. We talked about that. You see, he's talking about sins here, but he calls them burdens. You see, we all have weaknesses, don't we? We all are vulnerable in some area. We are all sinful. We need each other to carry each other's burdens. Did you ever think of it that way? Someone who's got a problem, a sin problem, really, they've got a burden. And Paul tells us we're to help carry that burden. We're to help carry that burden. A beautiful picture of this, somebody sent me a great story. It's called High School Teammates Carry On. And if you want to watch the video of this, it's on the podcast. We'll have it on our podcast. It's from ESPN. But listen to this. About two teammates. Don't start the pictures yet, Ian. Wait just a minute. I'll tell you when. December 7th, 2001, the day that shaped Leroy's body and his life. He was 11 years old at the time, walking to school along the railroad tracks near his house in Ohio. A freight train approached, and he got too close. The backpack got caught in the train, and he was pulled beneath the wheels. The paramedics saved Leroy's life, but the doctors could not save his entire body. His left leg was amputated below the knee, and his right leg below the hip. He endured a long, difficult hours of rehabilitation. He said, but I didn't want to be in that wheelchair. He said, I had to build my arm muscles up so that I could move around, get out of that chair and move around. I moved around on my arms a lot. That ability to move and to lift and flip and twist his body led him to a place few expected and to a friendship few could have foreseen. In January 2008, midway through his junior year, Leroy transferred to Cleveland, a school in Cleveland. By this time, he was a senior, and he decided to join the wrestling team just as he had done at previous schools, and the coaches welcomed him. His coach said to him, as he was working out, he said, you've been hit by a train. What else, what kid, what wrestler can stop you? At Leroy's first practice, his first partner was the only other wrestler on the team powerful enough to handle him, D'Artagnan Crockett, Lincoln's best and strongest talent. He's 5'10", muscled, already a winner in multiple weight classes, but when Leroy hopped off his chair and onto the wrestling mat, the competition was more than D'Artagnan expected. D'Artagnan said he was a complete powerhouse. I never wrestled anyone as strong as him. I can't read this. I've read this 10 times. I still can't read this. We pushed each other to our limits, and we didn't let each other give up. Hour after hour, month after month, practices connected them in ways that went way beyond the gym. They went everywhere together, classes, bus rides, each other's houses. Then one day, the school's powerlifting coach says, I'm coming out of my office. I look over to the corner of the gym, and up the steps I see D'Artagnan with something on his back. The closer I get, I'm like, is that Leroy? Leroy on his back, D'Artagnan's carrying him. It was not a one-time ride. D'Artagnan lifted Leroy onto his back and carried him to and from every match, on and off every bus, into and out of every gym, all season long. At more than 170 pounds, Leroy was not a light load. D'Artagnan never cared, and the carrying never stopped. D'Artagnan lifted Leroy onto his back for the playing of every national anthem and carried him down the bleachers before each match. Yet as inseparable as they were, a team unto themselves in a way, they also shared something greater than their sport. That's because the teammate who carried Leroy on his back all season long knows about challenges himself. D'Artagnan Crockett knows because he's legally blind. Why don't you flick a few pictures up there for me, Ian? Here's Leroy. D'Artagnan. Carrying his friend. All right, thanks, Ian. You can click those off now. If you want to see the whole video, it's on the podcast, so just go on that podcast, you'll be able to watch it. But it says there's more to the story. It says on the wrestling mat, and this is just a beautiful picture, I think, of what carrying burdens is all about. On the wrestling mat, although his moves are quick and bold, this is D'Artagnan, He sees little more than rough shapes lunging toward him. Yet his own view of his limits remains focused and clear. I'm just seeing it as a challenge God has given me, and how I'm going to react to this challenge, he said. Let it make me the person I am, or let it break me. Other trials in life could have broken him long ago. After his mother died when he was 8, he moved in with his father, Harris, who struggled with addictions to drug and alcohol. There were times when D'Artagnan scavenged the house for food but found none. Most of the time in high school, he had no steady place to call home. Through it all, he stayed in school, stayed on the mat, and supported his father's effort to stay clean. Harris has now been sober and working two full-time jobs. He's been sober for more than a year now and is working two full-time jobs. That D'Artagnan would pick someone else up was no surprise. He learned to carry his father before he ever carried his friend. D'Artagnan said he made a lot of mistakes in the past, but he's learned from them. It made our bond stronger than I could fathom. He's a great father. When the words were related to Harris, he dropped his head and began to cry. He said, above all, I'm glad the love never left. I'm glad he stayed. These two guys joke all the time. The article talks about how they kid each other about legs and sight and stuff. They're really funny. But they said the one place they don't laugh is in competition. Entering gyms all season, one atop the other, each cared as much about the other's match as his own, with as much invested in the other's outcome. Every time D'Artagnan wrestled, Leroy sat on the edge of the mat, serving as unofficial coach and chief encourager. It's like having my brother there, D'Artagnan said. Competing at 189 pounds in Ohio, big wrestling state, D'Artagnan was nearly always the aggressor. He rarely waited for the other's move for the simple reason he might never see it. So he struck first. He went 26-3 his senior season, won the league championship. As for Leroy, he was unable to generate a lot of leverage. No legs, that's a big part of wrestling, if you know anything about wrestling. The matches were a lot tougher for him. Wins were more difficult, yet he expected nothing less than 100% from his opponents. Wrestling in multiple weight classes this season, he won 9 matches. The majority by pinning his opponents. In every match, regardless of the outcome, he left a message. He never said it, but his coaches understood. Watching him wrestle, one of the coaches said, has taught me how to stand in areas of my life that I wouldn't have wanted to. Fast forward to the final night of their high school graduation. The majority of students at their high school never earned diplomas. The graduation rate is roughly 40%. But Leroy had dreamed of this night for a long time. My goal, he said, in May, is to actually walk across the stage. No one on that stage understood that goal more than D'Artagnan. That's why when Leroy's name was called, D'Artagnan stood too, right beside him. What would you do for a friend, one you carried on your back all year long? You'd put him down and walk beside him, which is exactly what D'Artagnan did. He helped Leroy stand upon his new prosthetic legs he was fitted to just a few weeks earlier, then moved alongside him as Leroy crossed the stage, step by step, eye to eye. When Leroy stopped, put out his hand, and grasped his diploma, the audience rose and delivered a standing ovation. As long as I can remember, D'Artagnan said, I've been carrying him from A to B to C. Graduation was the first time I finally got to walk beside him. It was a privilege. It was an honor. Leroy's eyes moistened and he looked up. It meant so much to me, he said, to know I have a friend who was there to catch me if I stumbled. There was no stumble. We are all broken, aren't we? That's a physical picture of each one of us, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically. We all need to be carried, don't we? And the grace of God is what carries us. It's all grace. And sometimes he uses other people to carry us. He calls us to carry other people with his grace. Who is God calling us to carry? You see, we have a tendency, don't we, to, at least I do, to focus on faults. People's faults, their mistakes, their weaknesses, their sins. And instead of seeing a person that needs our help, and I'm not talking about enabling and discipline, all those are different issues, but I'm talking about something different here. Instead of seeing that person who needs our help, we focus on their problems, their mistakes, their sins, what they've brought on themselves, right? Brought on themselves. And see, we have a choice, though. When we see somebody, we can choose to criticize or carry. We can criticize or carry. In a marriage, think of your marriage, if you're married. They're called a helpmate for a reason, right? And yet, we have to make that choice. Are we going to focus on their faults or their positives? Are we going to attack them, our spouse, or help them? And what happens when we help? It usually boomerangs back and they help us, don't they? Just like these two guys. But we have to make that choice, criticize or carry. With our kids, as parents. Are we going to focus on what disappoints us? Or are we going to try to help them reach their potential and stay positive, even though there are a lot of non-positive times as parents? Kids, what are you going to do with your parents? Are you going to criticize or carry your parents? Are you going to see parents as this irritant that you have to put up with till you can get out of the house? You know, it's kind of the culture we live in, right? Or realize how much they love you, even when they don't always show it the best way. You know, how much they love you and support them in their effort. Because it's not easy being a parent. Criticize or carry in a church. What are we going to do in a church? Are we going to focus on what's wrong with other people in our church, in our home fellowship, and our relationships here? Or are we going to see the progress in their lives? Yeah, they're a pain in the butt, but you know, there's been a lot of progress, right? Are we going to see the progress and extend extra grace? Extra grace for whatever they're struggling with, however they're bothering us. With ministries, all the different ministries, let's just use our church. You see ministries, and are we going to criticize or carry? Ed Humphreys has a great saying. He says, I'm not going to criticize. I want to be part of the solution. I love that way. He always says that about stuff. I want to be part of the solution. And that's a great, are we going to criticize or are we going to be part of the solution? To the ministries, for your pastor. I've heard there's actually churches where people think they have imperfect pastors. Can you believe that? And I've heard these churches, and I've heard of churches where the parishioners, the people in the congregation, don't cut their pastors much slack, and they go through them pretty quickly. Kind of like the wood chipper, you know, they go through the pasture chipper. And, but we have a choice. You guys have a choice with me. I got a few issues, more than you know. And are you going to pray for me? Are you going to pitch in? Are you going to help carry, pitch in the areas that I'm weak and carry? That's the choice. Whatever, if you don't stay here, I can't stand this guy, go somewhere else. You're going to have the same problem with the next guy. Wherever you go, sooner or later, you're going to have to stop and pray for that guy and pitch in and help. Carry that weak area. And I have to say, this church has been great. You guys have just been so encouraging. And this church has been great about picking other people up. Yesterday we were at the men's helping hand ministry, and Liam and Keith have been doing this. And just so touching to see how they're doing things that I can't do. For people, and really just carrying people's burdens. And criticize or carry. It could be our neighbor, could be at work. Think of your work situation, criticize or carry. Could be a coach that you're under, could be a teacher, could be a student at school, criticize or carry, a friend, a teammate. Are we going to criticize or carry them? I don't know if you heard, but our soccer team at New Hope, the boys' soccer team, won the state championship yesterday. It's a big deal. I guess it's the second state championship ever. Somebody said back in the early 80s the cross-country team might have won, but it's the first one we can remember in a long, long time. It's very, very exciting. But I have to say this. This team, at the beginning of the season, I don't think they expected to win a state championship. Even halfway through the season, they were okay, but they weren't great. They didn't even win the league. They were just hoping to have a solid season. They weren't thinking about state championships. A district championship looked out of reach. But something happened to this team. And we saw it happen. What happened was one of the player's sisters came down with leukemia. And it really hit our community and hit the team. And they ended up rallying around this girl, Carly. And her favorite color was orange. If you saw that on TV yesterday, the game, if you watched it, everybody's wearing orange. That's because of Carly. That's her favorite color. And the whole team really rallied around her. And we had a big day with all the teams wearing orange and all the people wearing orange. And we just rallied around Carly and showing our support for her with leukemia. And after that night they played a real emotional game and played super. It was just super. They won a big game. Soccer team did. And after that night, there was a difference in that team. They were different. They won district, shocked everybody, kept winning, winning, winning. And what changed? Carly. Carly's, the focus on Carly is what the Carly's night changed them. By rallying to support her and to carry her. And if you know her, she's gone through a lot. Doing very well, though, thank you, God. But they rallied to carry her. And it meant so much to her as she's gone through all this. And they pulled together for a bigger purpose. And they accomplished something special without even trying to. They were just trying to carry a friend. And in the process, they achieved something very special. And isn't that how God works? Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. It's when we're not criticizing, and that team was not real unified. Now they're so unified. It was amazing what this did that unified them. When we stop focusing on each other's issues and we start to carry each other, and every day we got to think that way, criticize or carry, something happens, and the Holy Spirit can work in a special way, and he accomplishes something special in and through us, individually and as a church. Who is God calling you to carry this morning? What burden? What person has he put in your path? Are we going to criticize or carry that person, that burden? Who is he calling you to bring back? Who is he calling us to bring back, to rescue? Who is he calling us to welcome back with open arms? Maybe he's calling you to come back. Maybe you have wandered spiritually in some way. And he's calling you back. Maybe you've lost touch with God and there's some sin stronghold in our life and God is calling us back. Maybe you're here today and it's not about coming back. Maybe you need to come to him for the first time. You've never come and given your life to God. And you need to come to him for the first time and find that forgiveness and put your faith in Jesus Christ and give your life to him. Romans 6:23, we did that earlier, for the wages of sin is death. But the good part is, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift. Can you work for a gift? No, you can receive it. It's grace. That's what grace is. Grace is a gift. You receive it. You take it. And you say, well, you don't know what a mess I've made of my life. Listen, it doesn't matter. God's a junk artist. He takes the junk and he makes something beautiful in all of our lives. Let's pray. Have you ever come to God and put your faith in Jesus Christ? Maybe you're here today and you've been wandering in many ways, but especially spiritually wandering. And you know this morning that you're lost. But Jesus Christ is waiting, holding out his hand to us, inviting us to take his hand and let him take us through this life, now and forever. To take the gift he's offered on his death, by that death on the cross of forgiveness, and by his resurrection from the dead after 3 days, which is offering us a new life, a brand new life, we can take it by faith. We can receive it by faith. Right where you are, ask him for that. Say, God, I do want to be forgiven for everything wrong I've ever done in my life. I ask you to forgive me. I don't want that anymore, that life. I want to live a new life in Jesus Christ. Please forgive me. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross to take my punishment, and I put my faith in him, my trust in him, my hope in him. All my faith is in Jesus Christ. I give him my life. I surrender this life to you, God. If you've prayed that prayer to God, you're not wandering anymore. God is your Father now, and the Spirit of Christ is living inside of you. You have a brand new life in you. You're a brand new person. I want to encourage you to let somebody know. Maybe you came with a friend, or tell me, fill out the card, email, somehow let someone know so that we can be excited for you and help you grow in your new faith and your new life, so that we can help carry your burdens, this church family here. For those of us who have already put our faith in Christ, how is God speaking to us? Maybe he's calling us to come back. Come back to him. Maybe some area of our life that's blocking that we need to surrender to him, share with someone else, get the victory over. Maybe he's calling us to bring somebody back or welcome somebody back. Maybe he's impressing on our heart and our mind right now someone that we're to carry. Someone with a burden. Maybe someone we don't even like. But God is calling us to carry this burden. To end this time while we're praying, I'm just going to ask Ian to play what I think is a very touching song and video that puts the frosting on the cake to what James has said here. And we'll just prayerfully watch this.